You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm your host, Corey Ravine. I'm being joined by John Easter. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great.
I'm also being joined by the main man, Coach Kirshner. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, last time we saw the Giants, they just finished up the season wrapping up a 6-5 record, losing to Avon in the second round of sectionals. So it's a new season for the Giants, new fresh faces coming into the roster. Now, Coach, how has the offseason treated the Giants?
Very good. Workouts, very good. We got the strongest power clean team we've ever had, with the strongest squat team we've ever had. We tied the school record for most club members at 187. Kids have worked really hard, bought into the off-season program. When you think about breaking strength records at Ben Davis, it's really pretty amazing. When you think about the teams that have come before them and the amount of power lifters we've had. Our spring speed development went very well. We went to summer camp at Bishop Delahan and got a lot of things done. Then we kind of took some time off in the first part of July and came back at the middle of July and hit co-captains with Coach Vanderbush for probably the 34th year or something like that. And he busted our chops for two straight weeks, five straight nights, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 for two straight weeks. And then we wrapped it up with a team camp the last week of July. And, everything's been good. It's been kind of going like you hope. And, you hope it carries over through the season.
Coach, now you are starting what? I think this is year number 9 for you? No, this is year 10 as the head coach at Ben Davis for you. So, obviously, you get things started off on Friday night with the scrimmage, and thought the Giants looked good in some places, and probably you thought you were going to, throw something in some others. So, how'd the scrimmage go for you?
The scrimmage was good. I thought our offense was clicking. I thought we did some good things, Reese throwing the ball. I think we have lots of targets to throw to. Got to clean some things up on routes. I thought the running backs ran hard. The offensive line returned a couple starters, so we were good in spots and are growing up in others. Defensively, because there's no kicking involved in the scrimmage, not as sharp as we'd like to be. We didn't think we played with the enthusiasm. We're hoping that was a game situation mentality, and they just didn't think much of it. But on the other hand, with our number ones, we rotated 30 kids. And now on a Friday night, we would not rotate 30 kids. We were trying to, one, develop some depth, and two, we're not sure in spots who that kid is just yet. So, for instance, I rotated 4 corners, 2 safeties, 6 outside linebackers, 6 inside linebackers, 7 D tackles, and 7 DNs. And that's a lot of kids in what amounts to about a 40-play scrimmage. So even some of our better kids we think are really good, they were only playing about 10 plays in the whole scrimmage. With that being said, some of the kids that were in there playing didn't quite do some of the things we'd coached. And we kind of addressed that Saturday in film, and we've been addressing it Monday and Tuesday in practice, because there's some things they did that were not good and on the defensive side that if we don't get fixed, good teams like Warren and Center Grove and Carmel and Tech and everybody else we play are going to expose us.
Now, one big question on everyone's mind is, how do the Giants replace the production made by Chris Evans? We all know he's up playing for Coach Harbaugh in Michigan. But we just want to know, how do you feel you can fill that production void that he's left?
Well, you don't replace a Chris Evans no more than you replace a James Banks. And I'll go back in time here, and John will remember all this, but a Steve Holman. James Banks. There was a guy in the mid-90s that was a real good wrestler. Smith? Cameron Smith. I mean, a Corey Harris, a D. Dowler. Tim Wilbur, if you want to go back to even when I played. You know, you had Tim Wilbur, and then with Tim Wilbur, you had Gino and Keith and Chucky Howard, all three. So you really go back. There's certain things that don't happen. What has to happen is somebody or somebody's multiples have to step up and fill the gap of a 1,000-yard receiver, or a rusher, a 500-yard receiver, a kick returner, a punt returner, play some defense. He's kind of your all-around player. You don't replace the Chris. It just doesn't happen. We just got to have other guys step up, and we're hoping guys like Keyshawn Tunstall and Jermaine Hoskins, Noah Thomas has got to take on a bigger role. Ajay Cooper, who's now a receiver full-time, has got to take on a bigger role. Our running backs, it'll be by committee. You've got Johnny Adams. You've got Jeremiah Whithorn, who rushed for almost 500 yards last year. You've got Joey Person and Jalen Robinson, four quality kids. Our fullback, they've got to replace LeSean Johnson, and so that's Hayden Fain. They've got to step up. And so that's just kind of the nature of the beast, and that happens every year. That's not going to change. Next year you're going to be sitting here, if you're still here, and you're going to say, all right, how do you replace so-and-so? Well, a few years back, the big question is, how do you replace Antonio Allen? But you know what? I didn't replace Antonio Allen. You know, there's kids that have filled that position. There's only one Antonio Allen. So, you know, if the program is built right and you're doing things right, then that stuff will take care of itself as you go through the season.
Coach, you've kind of had a cycle over the last few years with lots of success. Obviously, the state championship in 2014, you know, the losses have been few over time. Last year was a 6-5 season. What changes have you made, coaching wise, otherwise, coming back? I know always there's movement in the coaching. You know, some coaches leave, some coaches come back, some coaches move to new areas. So what kind of changes can folks see from the coaching staff perspective?
Well, we got a new defensive coordinator. Coach Williams decided he wanted to change. It wasn't by design. Coach Williams came to me after the season and said he was looking to do something different with it. Didn't want to get out of coaching, but looking to do something different. And one of his roles under Coach Delahan many years ago was the head O-line coach. He was back being the head O-line coach and doing an unbelievably great job with these kids. His intensity, his fire, enthusiasm is phenomenal. In the meantime, we brought in Dan Schwanekamp, who was our linebackers and special teams coordinator. He has taken over now as the defensive coordinator. Jay Douglas has moved back into town. He was on, you guys might remember Jay Douglas as a DB on the 99 state championship team. He has come back and taken over special teams for us. And then we've had a couple coaches take a year off. We replaced them with some other key people. One of them is Adrian Reese, who played up at Fort Wayne South and was a four-year starter at Ball State University. And the other one is one that was an all-state football player, Ben Davis, and an all-MAC player at Ball State, Mark Zachary, who started all 4 years. He's come in to help us out with the D-line. So we've made some changes. I don't know that you'll see much change overall. There's some different things we're doing defensively that we were kind of experimenting with on Friday night that is a little different than maybe what Coach Williams ran that kind of fit Coach Swanekamp's personality. But we've had to make some changes, and that comes and goes every year. I mean, it'd be nice if the staff stayed the same, but for instance, Kyle Mullins, who was on our staff for 7 years, is a head coach at Scottsburg. Next year will be their first full varsity season after this fall. You've got Pat Shanley was on our staff for 4 or 5 years. He's the head coach at Lafayette Jeff. Jason Simmons was on our staff for several years. He's the head coach at Noblesville. So you want those guys to go on and become head coaches. I think it's kind of a compliment to your program that other people think so highly of the coaches on your staff that they're willing to put them in head coaching situations.
Well, last year's team, you could say, was a young team with lots of juniors, sophomores, and even freshmen taking prominent roles in the team. And what ways has that team grown up to this year?
Well, the nice thing is when you play young guys, they do get a year older. But I hate using the excuse that we played young guys. I know Reese was a sophomore at quarterback, and Hoskins was a sophomore at one of the wide receiver spots, and we played a couple juniors at O-line. You know, Whithorn was a junior at running back. And that's an easy way to somehow justify why you're 6-5. We did not, whether it be coaching fault on my part or not getting it done with the players, we did not live up to what I thought our capabilities and what my expectations for the team was. Even though we finished 6-5, and some people go, you still had a winning record, we did not live up to our end of the deal. We made plays at times that I felt like kept us in games, and other times we weren't making those plays. And I was frustrated throughout the season because I never felt like I personally was able to get out of them what they were capable of doing. Now, with that being said, you know, we lost to a very good Center Grove team who ended up going 14-0. We lost to a really good Carmel team who lost in semi-state. We lost to Avon the second time around by 5 points in the sectional finals. We lost to Warren Central, who lost 12-9 to Center Grove, who ended up winning state. So those were four of our five losses. Our fifth one was a pipe team who just gives us fits because they're so athletic, and Jimmy Graves does such a great job. And so none of those losses, I look back and say, wow, we got beat by opponent maybe that shouldn't have. But by the same token, we should have played better in all those games than we did. You know, and the Warren game sticks out as, I mean, they just whooped us. They lined up in that power set and gave the ball to J. Cole, and he just took us over. And it was very frustrating at times because I felt like we were better than what we were and than what our record shows, and that's on me.
We're going to take a quick break here on Inside Media Football. We'll come back and give a little preview of the season opener against the Tech Titans here at home. So we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on Inside Media Football.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Bender's Football. Now, Coach, coming up, you have the home opener against the Tech Titans. What should we expect out of Tech?
You're going to get a really athletic team. They've changed their offense from last year. Last year, they had a returning quarterback, and they played a spread offense, threw the ball around, a lot of screens, a lot of alleys, a lot of bubbles. This year, they've gone to, and John, you'll remember this, when Kevin Wright first got to Warren, they were too wide, double wing, fullback. It was midline, veer, fling, option football. And that's what they've gone to, and it fits their kids really well. They run it very fast. They've got a very big offensive line. They got three kids on the offensive line over 6'5", 260 pounds. They knock, watching the Evansville-Harrison scrimmage, they knock people off the ball. On the defensive side, they're very young. They're running a 4-2-5, but they're athletic. They run around, they get in space, and they can tackle very well. And because it's a scrimmage, nobody knows kicking. We don't have a clue what's coming from the special teams. We really just don't know what we're getting into. We know their punter graduated. We know their kicker graduated. We don't know what's coming from there. But my fear is we're running into a young but very athletic Tech team. And Coach Henderson does a great job, so I'm expecting to have our hands full Friday night.
Coach, this is kind of a question that's off the topic of Tech, but you mentioned it there that, you know, this you obviously have the film of the scrimmage, but you don't know exactly what you're getting into from a special team standpoint. Whereas, this has been kind of a debate that's been going on the Gridiron Digest, which I know you have a love-hate relationship sometimes with the Gridiron, but there's been a debate going on the Gridiron Digest about the old Jamboree format versus the scrimmage format where Jamboree, you get three or four teams and they play each other different quarters. Scrimmage, of course, is, you know, a certain number of plays from this area, controlled scrimmage. Which one do you prefer?
I did not like the Jamborees. I didn't think you got enough plays. You would play a quarter, you'd sit a quarter, your kids would lose their focus. I like the scrimmage. I just think the scrimmage is, honestly, I'd like to get rid of the scrimmage, just add another game, to be honest with you. Especially for a big program like ours, getting kids games and getting them playing time is sometimes a challenge to us. But I understand the purpose of scrimmage. We're easing people into it. Another game necessarily means that much more hitting and banging and injuries and the whatnot. I was not a fan of the Jamborees ever. I just thought it was a long night of sitting there watching some people play while you play and vice versa. And so I do like the fact that we at least get to play somebody. But here's the thing about the whole scrimmage. because the way the summer rules are now, we're allowed 12 helmet shoulder pads practices in the summer. Now, we don't do 12. We do 7. But in that 7, we can actually go scrimmage another team, all right? So, again, you can't take anybody to the ground. It's not full go. We don't tackle the legs. We keep everybody up. But it's like a scrimmage, and you know, and all of a sudden, we get to two-a-days. You know, so in the summer, I'm wearing helmet shoulder pads. I get to the beginning of the school year, August 1st, and I can only wear helmets. Then days 2 and 3, I can only wear helmets and shoulder vests. Well, I've already been wearing helmets and shoulder vests. So all of a sudden, you're taking me, you're reeling me back in, and you're saying, I don't quite understand the continuity or the flow of everything, and then maybe I'm not supposed to understand. I don't know. I'm okay with the way it is, to make a long answer to that. So.
Well, another year needs another class of freshmen coming into the program. What freshmen are you looking forward to seeing playing this year?
We're really excited. We got a really good freshman group coming in. As 7th and 8th graders at Chapel Hill, they didn't lose a game. The 8th grade group at Lyndhurst, when they played Chapel Hill's 8th grade last year, and their 8th grade was undefeated, Lyndhurst only lost to them 6-0. They were really good. They had a winning record. So the two combined, we got 70-some freshmen out. They're really good. You got a quarterback named Trent Gibson and Shamar Dabner, who are really good. We got two really good receivers in Brown and Smith in that group. Good running backs, really good running backs, and Peters and Cushenberry, and they're big. You got linemen like Temple and Dorian Keyes, and so they're going to be a fun group to watch. I think it could be a special group, kind of like our current juniors are right now to us. They were really athletic as freshmen coming in, weren't used to losing very often. And last year was kind of a big taste for them because they had more losses last year, I think, than they had since fifth grade, literally fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. They had more losses last year, 5, as a JV varsity team than they had in all 5 of those years combined. So they got a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth right now.
Coach, obviously, you play in the toughest conference of the state. There's no question every year the MIC is the MIC. Right now, you got Center Grove nationally ranked. You have Warren Central nationally ranked. Some places have Carmel nationally ranked. Some places you're nationally ranked. You got Lawrence North, a team that's playing all seniors this year. Warren Central with Bill Peebles, new program, new coach. North Central probably factors to improve. And I don't know if I left anybody out, but if I did, by the way, the Pike Red Devils. The big rivalry. So, you know, what's the MIC? How does it shake out this year? Is it going to be one of those years like maybe the 2011 season where you have team number one, team number 1A, team number 1B? Or is this a year where somebody's going to shake out and run away with it?
I don't know that anybody ever runs away with it. I mean, I guess back in the day, maybe when Dick was here, it's so evenly matched. In fact, you go back and you look at the 2-1 Center Grove games last year, one could have won both of them. As good as Center Grove was, they were great. Deserved everything they got. Eric Moore's unbelievable. But there's just not a difference. I mean, the difference is an inch between 1 and 8. And you know, you can sit here and say, well, North Central hasn't done this or this or this for a few years. North Central's getting better. They got a couple Division I kids already. Walter Hare is going to Toledo. They got a linebacker that has offers. Bill Peoples showed what he could do down at Southport. He took over a program that couldn't win. He goes his first 2 years with winning maybe one game. Next thing you know, he rips off about 9 straight winning seasons. Marion County Coach of the Year twice. Wins a couple sectionals. So you know what's getting ready to happen at LC. Pat Mallory at Lawrence North. He just keeps getting better. I know the win-loss record. I talked to Pat a couple times over the last winter. Win-loss records don't show up, but when you play them, you can just see it. You can see them getting ready to turn that page. And then you start looking. You know, Pike's always got those athletes that run up and down the field. Jimmy Graves' scheme fits those kids. He knows what he's doing. He's a great coach. And you got the Warren Central tradition, the Carmel tradition, the Center Grove tradition. And it goes on and on. I mean, you know, they call it the SEC of the Midwest. It's one of the best conferences. I don't think there's one team in our conference, not one, that doesn't have kids with Division I offers on their roster right now. I think Carmel's got 5 or 6. Warren's got a half a dozen. Center Grove's got 2 or 3. We've got 7 or 8 kids with Division I offers. Pike, North Central. And so you literally take those kids that'll have all those Division I offers in our conference. Total them all up. I'm going to tell you, it will equal what everybody else has in the entire state, all 312 schools. I believe that.
Well, Coach, going into the season, you got a lot of new faces. What are your areas of concern going into the season around the team?
The biggest area is going to be how we handle adversity. This team is very athletic. This will be my 17th year at Ben Davis, my 10th year as a head coach. I bleed purple. I've been here a long time now. I know the community inside and out. And I've seen good teams come, and I've seen average teams come through Ben Davis. This one has the potential to be good. The knock on this team will not be an athletic situation. It won't be, we don't have enough athletes here, we don't have enough athletes here. It will be whether they can handle a bad situation and learn from it, make it better. And when I walked off the field Friday night, I told my wife, looked at me and goes, what's your problem? It was a scrimmage. I was so mad because I just felt like defensively, we didn't do things we'd asked them to do that we'd been practicing since June. And now the test will be, are they going to listen to me on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week so that when we hit the field on Friday, what I saw last Friday doesn't reappear? Because if it keeps reappearing, that means they don't have the maturity or the character with which to make the decision, decide to make themselves better. They have the ability. Not sure where the mental part will be, whether they can handle it as a mature young adult trying to make themselves to be the best football player they can be.
Coach, before I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our fourth member of our cast here, Jeff Robinson, not with us tonight. Jeff's father's had some health problems. We want to send our thoughts out to Jeff and his wife and their entire family. If you haven't heard our show before, Jeff's at Interval Park because he can ask some questions that Corey nor I can because of our involvement with Ben Davis and the team. But, you know, Jeff kind of keeps us honest here. And, plus, he's a great writer. He knows football inside and out. So I wanted to take a moment and send our best wishes out to the entire family there. And also his father, want him to get well soon. As you enter now your 10th year at Ben Davis, I guess my question is, do you feel, I hate saying yes or no questions because you just say yes or no, but you enter your 10th year, does it feel like it ever gets any easier for you to be the head coach at Ben Davis, or is it always just like going back into the meat grinder again?
To answer your question, truthfully, no, it does not get easier. It gets tougher with each year. There's several reasons, and some of them are not. I get older. You know, I'll be 56 this year, so I get older, and the players are always 17. Okay, so like we're out on the field tonight, and everybody does the jump chest bump, and Reese Taylor comes over to me and goes, Coach, I said, I'm not jumping. I'm not, one, I don't think I can, and two, I'll probably hurt something if I do, you know, but later on I did it, you know, we were laughing about something, he scored on something, so, you know, the energy level of the kid is always 17, so that in of itself creates a challenge, and you know, that's, you know, when Coach D got out at age 59, that was one of his things. He goes, there's some things that needed to change in the program, youth league, some things needed to change. And he goes, I just don't have the energy to do that anymore. I got the energy to coach. But as the head coach, the things that come up that require more of my time that sometimes have nothing to do with coaching. For instance, the four parent calls I got last night. And I spent 40 minutes on the phone talking to parents because they had a question about this or an issue with this or something about this. And that's my job. And I don't want my assistant coaches to have to do that because I want them to focus on being a coach and a coach only. So the number of little things that have to be done, decals all have to get on helmets this week. So we're doing that in small groups. In fact, I got some managers finishing a group of them up tonight. So that takes time. So last night we were till about 7:30 putting decals on helmets. So there's so many little things that have to go into being a head coach that have nothing to do with coaching that sometimes the 2 hours on the field is actually my release from all the other stuff I got to do, because those 2 hours, I just get to coach and I get to focus on being a coach and getting the kids to do it. And our kids, you know, kids today, you know, I don't know. Everybody says they're different. They are. You know, we're this will sound bad. They'll probably make fun of me tomorrow. Our generation's a little soft. You know, we want to be pampered. We don't want to, you know, they don't understand how to push themselves to the limit. I know we can't do things today the way we did them when I played back in the 60s and 70s. The world doesn't work that way. The idea that you can put a kid online and you can run them and run them and run them, if they don't like it, quit. Well, you run them and run them and run them, you're you know, it's defeatist. You know, it's, and kids today don't want to just be told what to do. They want a reason why they're doing it. So you have to change your style of coaching. The way I coached 30 years ago isn't anything close to the way I coach now, because things have changed and I've had to change and adapt. And some days are better than others when I come to adapt. So it's still fun. I still got Friday was a scrimmage. You asked about the scrimmage. My stomach was in knots and it was just a scrimmage, you know, and I'm thinking, man, that's the way it was 40 years ago when I put the helmet on. So it's still there. I still love it. I love the process of getting to the point where we get to play a game. I love the winter weight. I love the spring speed development. I love getting the things organized for the summer. You know, I love that process of getting to the point now where you get to see the fruits of your labor, you know, and this is it. This is what I get to see now if we can actually accomplish what we think we can accomplish.
One more question before we get out of here and go to final thoughts. Leadership is always an important thing in the team. Who are the leaders in your locker room this year?
That's a really good question, and to answer it as truthfully as possible, and some people say I'm too honest on the radio, there isn't one, all right? And that's going back to the issue I told you that would keep us physically and athletically is not the issue. It will be the maturity. And until our leaders step up and take over the team, the right leaders, there's always going to be a question mark hanging over us, and that hasn't been established yet. I mean, there's kids that can do it. There's kids that can handle it mentally, physically, emotionally, but they haven't quite stepped up yet. But it's a long season.
Well, Coach, take on the Tech Titans in the home opener this Friday. Any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was real pleased with the Purple Rain. I know some people weren't, but I'll tell you, for a scrimmage, to have a student body like that there already, standing up, I could hear them. I don't ever hardly hear anything behind me, but I heard them yell a couple times. That means they were having a good time. The weather's supposed to, the rain is supposed to stop. I quit building my ark. All right. So it's supposed to be nice Friday night. It'll be a great home opener. We got the new turf field. We broke out the new purple pants last Friday. Come out and support. We'll have our helmets decaled up. I think it's going to be a good night for football on the west side.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to Inside Mendez Football. We'll be back again next Tuesday. Thanks to Jacob back in the studio for producing. Like we said earlier, Mendez Giants take on the Tech Titans in their home opener of the season. Pre-game starts at 6:15, kickoff at 7 on WBDG, Giant 90.9. And we'll send it back to the studio. This has been a presentation of your Mendez Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.